Give Us This Day Evening Edition is a devotional reflection upon the New Testament lesson from the Order for Evening Prayer from the Book of Common Prayer 1928. These reflections are written and presented by Father Charles Erlinson, who serves at the Church of the Good Shepherd Reformed Episcopal Church in Tyler, Texas.
Today is Thursday of the first Sunday in Advent. The lesson is taken from Revelation chapter 6.
And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And behold, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them, that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled.
When I wrote this originally, I was sitting upstairs in my study, looking at my window and seeing the nice new houses on my block. Revelation seemed almost like a work of fantasy or science fiction. If I believe it's related to Christ opening the seals of the new covenant, which violently judged Israel and destroyed the old covenant, the figurative language jars me. But what jars me more is I haven't had to experience the kinds of wars, famine, or death that is so vividly described here. Even now, when I was writing this, the housing crisis was upon me, but Revelation 6 seemed a long way off. If I believe that Revelation 6 is primarily related to things at the end of time, well, that's a long way off. For 2,000 years, mankind has seen wars, famine, and death, and often on a scale greater than we see today. Again, it is remote from my relatively tranquil existence today. And that's the first spiritual fruit I received today by witnessing the opening of the first six seals. I'm reminded of how pleasantly the lines have fallen for me in this life. Every day that I'm not personally surrounded by or a participant in a war, a famine, a plague, or death, is a much better day than if I were. When events of that magnitude register in our lives, they have a way of clarifying and prioritizing. An automatic triage ensues in which you see first things first, and that what you thought was really important turned out to be simply a diversion from what was truly important. And so, I'm thankful today first, because I have lived in a land and time of relative peace and great prosperity. Such blessings are, since the fall, no longer man's birthright, which was sold by Adam for a stinking piece of fruit. We should not be surprised when we read or hear about wars, hostilities, famines, earthquakes, hurricanes, plagues, and the like. They are one of the consequences for man following himself instead of God. When I consider my life and measure it by the distress and duress of Revelation 6, I recalibrate my whininess scale, and what I thought was a 9 on the scale in terms of distress turns out to be a 3 or a 4 or even less. It's as if I've become hysterical in my anxiety about my life, and what I need is a good slap in the face to bring me back to reality. As the man in the men's skin bracer commercial once said, after he had just been slapped in the face, "Thanks, I needed that." Just the other day, when I was originally writing this, my youngest son, at that time, William, came home from playing with some girls who decided they wanted to play a girly game. When he came home, he was very downcast and despondent, and when asked why he was sad, he rattled off a litany of 3 or 4 reasons his life wasn't any good. I tried to remind him of all the good things God had given him in his life, but it didn't seem to help much. I tried to tell him that this was the way I used to be, where I'd have one disappointment which exerted an immense gravitational pull over previous disappointments I'd conveniently stored up in my heart. By the time this snowball had reached the bottom of the hill, it was nothing less than the abominable snowman. But Revelation 6 takes a very hot flamethrower to the snowman I still like to build, and melts him down to the watery puddle he really is. There's another fruit I take away from today, and both of these fruits will provide adequate food for my soul for a while. The second fruit is that no matter what life looks like today, there will be cosmic, eternal justice. The nation of Israel had committed adultery against the Lord for centuries before he finally judged them in the first century. The enemies of God have been around for thousands of years, and maybe for thousands more, before God will require them to give an account of their lives. Do you remember all the times when you've been hurt by someone or something in life, and it just wasn't fair, and you felt helpless to do anything or find any justice? All of those accounts will be settled when Christ comes to judge. Do you remember all the times that you hurt someone through negligence, anger, malice, greed, or laziness, etc., and it wasn't fair? All of those accounts will also be settled when Christ returns. The wicked who scoff at God and his laws will no longer grin and prosper, and the cries of the saints who shout, "How long, O Lord?" will be turned into cries of joy and praise. Who will be able to hide on that day from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, he who has in this life accepted the blood of the Lamb to take away his sin and guilt. Therefore today, in spite of the trials and tribulations in my own life and in yours, I will rest a while longer until the number of the elect is filled and the one who I know is just decides it's time to make all things right.
Give Us This Day Evening Edition is a presentation of Always With Christ Radio. Radio in the Anglican Way.